哎呀呀嘿呀嘿呀呀嘿呀呀呀嘿呀嘿，哎呀呀嘿呀嘿呀呀嘿呀呀呀嘿呀嘿。Elder Voices, a window to the past, a door to the future.
My name is David Sopwick. I was born in 1971, born and raised in Shishmar. My parents, we grew up with practically nothing. The only way that they make our living is carving and hunting. My dad did. A little bit of sewing. My mother sells them at the store or whenever there's a order from somewhere. That's how we live. Mostly we live off the land. 90% of more, which really would come from the land. Ten or so, then I started working with ivory. My dad, watched my dad, trying to learn, and gradually started selling some stuff. It's interesting. First, I do that for something to do, occupy my time, then gradually learn how to carve and start selling a few stuff by things I need. Growing up, seems like in a different lifestyle compared to now. At the time, the community was small, way less than just over 100 people or so, and grew up in a traditional lifestyle. I remember participating in games we play out there outside, and play baseball, football, games we make up. So there was no entertainment. We didn't even have radio until later on. Spent a lot of time outdoors playing with our friends and entertaining myself. Raising elders and helping them grow up like that. There's a lot of things that needs to be done all the time. There's no motorized vehicles. The only thing we have is transportation with dog team. And most of the time, we do everything by hand. Go to the store, we carry things and haul things out from the store, like even if they weigh 50 pounds or more, like sugar, flour, stuff like that. We take them home by hand. Everything we do it by hand. I listened to elders, grandparents, my dad, uncle. First time I went out was my uncle took me out when I was about 6 or 7 when they were out hunting for beaver seals in springtime. First experience I had. And gradually from there, I started following them, listening to them, watching them how they do things. And when I got on my own, I just know what to do. I just did what I was taught and learned. From there, and thanks for my mistakes, I learn also from those and avoid things like that. My dad did, dog team. Gradually, I built my own when I was about 11 or 12. My own 3 dogs I take care of, take me to fishing, ice pond, places around town where I want to go. Back then, with dog team, it's not very dangerous. There's always danger from the elements, but learn what to do out there, out in the country. Or dog teams, they know more about the land or the location, the community more than us. So. No more times I got caught out there in a storm blizzard where I could hardly see my leader. And I just turned it over to them. It's my leader. It never failed. Take me back home. Just instinct, I guess. I can't explain it. I remember one time I got caught out there about 10 miles or more in a blizzard. The wind was from a different direction. So I used that wind to go home. I knew where the town was. Using that wind like a compass, but gradually somewhere along the line the wind had shifted and I completely lost out there. I keep telling my leader to go this way and he turned and followed up a while and he turned back the other way again. I keep doing that, finally. I couldn't make any sense at all, so I just turned over to him. Keep on going another hour or so, finally I saw my team go up like a bank. And all of a sudden I saw a dry rocks up there where a trail was. That was, I used that trail for a month ago. One time and under snow, maybe 2-3 feet under snow by that time. It been just followed that trail. It took me home. Otherwise, if I was in a snow machine out there, I'd be out there, not somewhere. They rely on the dog, yeah. And there's some exceptional dogs that knows what to do. Hunting alone back then was not as dangerous as it is now. Right now, practically, you have to have two machines going out hunting if you're going to go out 20-30 miles away from town with a hunting partner all the time. That's what's safer now. Back then, you hunt alone. A lot of leaders before and after that, but that one was the one that I always think back to. That was maybe 50 years or so ago, or more than that. I was in my teens then. And on my own, and I think of dogs, or think back to that one leader. There was others that were very gifted too, but that was the one that knew where to go. Most of the transportation we have was snow machines, or ATVs, and things like that. So. 3 or 4 people still have dog teams for recreational use, mostly for, every year we have a carnival for their dog races, and once in a while, one of the musters will enter one like in Kotzebue or somewhere. Ever since my uncle Herbie Nyepuk, Cranbaugh, he passed away, he's entered those races in Kotzebue later on, and one time, 3 or 4 years in a row, he was a champion on 220 race across there, which is held in December. My uncle Herbie Nyepuk, I grew up with him and I hunted with him. I was about 8 years old when he got drafted to the Army. Not really drafted, but him and 4 other guys, they signed up. Volunteered and stayed away 4 years, and when he came back, I was 12, and since then, him and I started hunting together, worked together. At one time, I stayed with him for a while, and we go all over. Back in 1958, Nome Kennel Club sponsored the first race. First prize was $500, so. Herbie and another guy from Shishmav went to enter that race, so I went with them to Nome with our dog team. I had a good strong dog, so I was their freighter. I carried all the heavy stuff and got all the way to Nome to enter that. And a couple guys from Teller, Chester Topcock and Isaac Oklisic. Chester has a real good team, so he won the first prize. Isaac Oklisic, second place. Another guy, Stefan, who won third place, so Herbie. Human left, so it was just building his team then. It was a long trip. It took us about 4 days to get there with that team. I went to Nome, worked there. First I worked in Nome Belts, night shift, doing odds and ends. And there I started working for the Correctional Center. Worked there about 3 months and joined the Nome Police Department. Worked with them for a number of years. Went to Barrow, worked there for a few months as chief of police there. Due to lack of housing, went back to Nome and worked with Nome PD again. Over a year with the state airport security firefighters, and was working along when they first started the airlines, the security. They first set up that security going through the monitors, and I worked alone for over a year, 7 days a week. I couldn't take it anymore. I was no relief, so I was went back to Nome PD. Pipeline boom came up in the 70s during the construction period. I then went to Anchorage and worked in the pipeline for about 2.5 years. Worked with security at first, during the laborers unit, and worked there. Barrow was different than Nome. It was just like a big village then. It was over the Nome, and a lot of people there, not only from the community, but from other areas. And it was good to work there. People were all nice up there. After all, go back to Nome because we had no place to live. We were staying in a little shack owned by the construction outfit due to the lack of housing up there. By May, the outfit was coming back into Barrow, so we had to move out of there and no place to move to. So we went back to Nome and worked with Nome PD again. Back to Nome and worked with the Correctional Center for a while. Moved back here with my family and worked here for about 4 or 5 years with the police department, the chief of police, and had to resign because of my health problems, arthritis, and so I resigned. There are no 2 days alike when you're working a police officer. When you're working like a Nome, you work 24 hours around the clock, 8-hour shifts. No 2 days are like, it's very stressful. So there are times when it's quiet or when emergencies, when things like that happen, or life or death matters, and when you go in there and help, or you help somebody survive from loss. It's a good feeling. It pays for everything, seems like. It makes you feel good when you help somebody and bring to death something. To me, I have no comparison. First time I was born and moved to Nome, started working there in 1966. I moved back here about 30 years ago to raise my sons and daughter in a village, teaching traditional lifestyle mostly, and been here since. It's something that our ancestors taught us, our grandparents, our fathers, was passed on to them, and I feel that we have to continue that and pass it on to our children, grandchildren, and others that want to learn. So we need to keep that going now. The lifestyle or young people are going through right now is entirely different from the time when we were growing up. To me, it's like living in two different worlds. It's very, very different from each other from the time we were growing up and living now. I mean, from my way of thinking, it's like two different worlds. The Western culture is basically what our young people are living in now. Traditional lifestyle is not followed too much anymore, except for living off the land. And most of all, what our young people live now is a Western style of living. They depend on food, the stores, and things like that, not living off the land entirely. So they supplement their diet from the land. lifestyle is different. Like when I was growing up, there was a lot of things that was unknown to us. Mostly the controlled substances, drugs, alcohol, other things that harmful to your way of living. And also gambling was unknown. Back then, the community was unified. It was like a one big family, everybody working together, and like there was no problems. And whenever something arises, and or elders put the word out, and troublemakers hear about it, and that was the end of it. Elders were in charge in a community. What they say was done. It was like a law, and that is no longer the same. Like there's too much to do right now. There's too much activities, and everybody just goes their own way. Like in urban areas, though, the same way. At the time, before I left the room, it was gradually changing. The elders were not very much listened to anymore. And they knew it. And they knew it, so they just kind of back off. From then on, it changed. From my point of view, was what really changed the lifestyle for young people now is started back in 1960s, especially during the Vietnam War. Draft dodgers and so-called hippies and stuff like that, they changed the world, their lifestyle. From then on, our lifestyle is different. The influence was from that movement. The movement when everything changed, especially when drugs, they start beating the drugs, the lifestyle change. It's like going downhill. Often, our young people learn about drugs and things like that. And morality went down. It just went downhill. We're trying to get that back. The respect for elders is on the rise right now. I've been working with the elders since about 97. Presently, in the past few years, I've been chairman of the elders as well as the committee. We work together to try and bring those respectful elders and things like that back to at least teach your children, young people, how life was then, to introduce them to how life was when they were growing up. And they're interested in it. Our young people right now, they're starting to participate in the hunting and they're kicking on traditional lifestyle. There's a BBC director is working on that. The community started a wellness program about 3 years ago to try to help our young people from going the wrong way. That's helped a little. It's helped unite the community a little. Those programs are starting to come up for kids go out on a field trip for hunting or bear picking, and those that have no access to it before, ones that have no boats or motors or things like that. Religion should be the central part of everybody's life. When you make religion your central part inside of you, everything just branches out. You know what to do. Religion, the Bible teaches you on everything you need to know while you're here on this earth. Something comes up, you just know what to do. It should be a central part of everybody's life. Not only unite the people are in the same position, it helps the young people too. See, the Christians, they teach their young people acts of life, and as they grow up, they also teach their children, which makes life easier for them. It's like a fade away from religion now. Everybody is too much into doing their own thing. There's too much to do, too many entertainment, too much activities. Mostly with the access we have to electronic things. They're mostly into that now. Some of the things that they use in there are not very good for lifestyle. Violence and disrespect for others that they're watching TV. Those have a lot to do with the way our young people are now. The point where sometimes they are too much to themselves to those type of things. They start losing respect for others. The danger of somebody getting hurt. a result of no respect for others. I think that's to unify family, community. If we're unified in this community, we'd be working together. First thing, priority should be to work together. Work together and everything they do, work together. We'll treat each other, so they won't be treated themselves. From there, everything kind of branches out. Can just start helping others, not ask for anything in return. People pick that up as a result of it. It continues, people start looking up to you, and a person becomes a role model. Kids pick up just what they see and hear. They see a parent, a grandparent, or somebody in the community treating others like that continuously. They see it and they pick up their good habits, and that's the way it should be. In this world we're living in, there's always division. And when there's division, things get hard. Things don't work good anymore. For instance, our country, our leaders are divided a number of years now. And as a result of it, we're the ones that came for it. Our leaders are not working together. Once I want to do this, once I want to work in something. If they unify and work together, we wouldn't be in this mess right now. Recession and lack of jobs and things like that. It's number one. That's what their ancestors, the period of time I was there, it was the main goal was to unify people. Through the time, the stories that were passed on to us, the community were to be unified when there's a dissension in the community. Like a person keep putting pollen and stuff like that. After corrective measures were taken, they continued that. Person was banned from the community forever. So has to keep their unity together. If they knew once they're divided, their survival is in question. Unity is what they know we should have more than anything else. Earlier we talked about hunting alone. When you're young, it's no problem. But when you're hunting, when you're doing things alone, you have that much more work to do. So there's a couple of you working together. What you're doing is easier. You might not get lost. And you get done faster. You're more successful. There's a lot of people working together. And everything is so easy.
You've been listening to Elder Voices, a production of KNOM.
If you are an elder or know an elder who would like to participate, call KNOM at 907-443-5221 or write to KNOM Radio, Elder Voices, P.O. Box 988, Nome, Alaska, 99762. Thank you for listening to Elder Voices.